What if everything you thought you knew about progress, technology, and the future was based on wishful thinking rather than reality? We live in an age of information overload, where everyone has an opinion, but few have the data to back it up. This is where hard numbers cut through the fog. By examining 71 carefully chosen metrics, from fertility rates to wind turbine efficiency, from Roman concrete to electric vehicles, we discover patterns that challenge our assumptions and reveal uncomfortable truths. Bill Gates didn't call this one of his favorite books for nothing. The real question isn't whether numbers lie, they don't, but whether we're brave enough to accept what they're telling us. Infant mortality captures everything about a society: healthcare, nutrition, sanitation, education, and social support. Historically, 1 in 3 to 5 children died before their first birthday. Today's best-performing nations have reduced this to fewer than 5 deaths per 1,000 births, civilization in a single number. Sub-Saharan Africa still experiences rates above 60 per 1,000, equivalent to Western Europe a century ago. Vaccination demonstrates human ingenuity at scale. The pentavalent vaccine costs less than a dollar, but returns $16 in saved healthcare costs and lost productivity, or 44-fold when considering broader economic benefits. Measles prevention alone offers a 58-fold return, among humanity's most cost-effective interventions. Fertility rates reveal a quieter revolution. Most of humanity now lives in below-replacement societies, with some nations hitting critically low levels of 1.3 to 1.4 children per woman. Neither pro-natalist policies nor immigration has reversed these trends. Japan already has one person over 65 for every 4 citizens. By 2050, that ratio approaches 2 in 5. Our species is choosing a different path. America doesn't crack the top 25 for citizen well-being. Its infant mortality rate of 6 per 1,000 births trails France, Germany, and Japan. Life expectancy sits at 79 years, outside the top 24 countries. American 15-year-olds score below average in math and barely above in reading. The numbers reveal mediocrity beneath patriotic rhetoric. China has surpassed the U.S. as the world's largest economy in purchasing power, becoming the planet's largest producer of grain, coal, cement, and manufactured goods since 1978. Yet per capita GDP ranks just 73rd globally. Urban air pollution regularly exceeds safe levels by 20-40 times, and its aging population, whose working-to-dependent ratio peaked in 2010, poses a demographic time bomb. India, soon to overtake China in population, maintains democracy despite extreme inequality and corruption. Though China's economy is nearly 5 times larger, India has produced a disproportionate number of global tech leaders, including the CEOs of Google, Microsoft, and Adobe. The question isn't which giant will dominate the 21st century, but whether either can overcome its fundamental challenges. Rudolf Diesel's 1897 engine achieved 26% efficiency, far superior to contemporary gasoline engines. Today's diesels maintain a 15-20% efficiency advantage. Yet Diesel never imagined his invention would power globalization. Virtually every container ship, bulk carrier, truck, and freight train runs on diesel. The irony? He envisioned decentralized production. Instead, his engine enabled centralized industry and global supply chains. Consider transformers, those unassuming gray boxes you pass without noticing. Perfected in 1886, these simple devices make modern civilization possible, ranging from massive 1100 kilovolt units enabling long-distance transmission to tiny crystals in smartphone chargers. No transformers, no modern world. The integrated circuit reveals how quickly the impossible becomes inevitable. When Jack Kilby conceived fabricating all electronic components of a single semiconductor in 1958, it seemed like science fiction. Robert Noyce independently developed a similar concept. These micro-logic elements initially served missile systems and Apollo missions. Then Moore's Law kicked in. Microprocessors with thousands of components by 1971, affordable personal computers by the mid-1980s, smartphones in every pocket today. From moon rockets to pocket computers in a single generation. Wind turbines promise free, green energy, but their creation tells a different story. Each 5-megawatt turbine requires approximately 900 tons of steel, produced and transported using fossil fuels. To supply 25% of global electricity by 2030, we'd need roughly 450 million tons of steel before counting transmission infrastructure. We're burning fossil fuels to build machines that will eventually save fossil fuels, hoping the math works out. Nuclear power is a successful failure. The success? 449 operating reactors maintain 90% capacity factors, producing twice the electricity of all solar and wind combined. The failure? Despite predictions it would be too cheap to meter, the industry stalled after Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, and Fukushima. We built something extraordinarily efficient, then collectively decided we were too afraid to use it. Solar panels show similar promise versus reality tension. Costs plummeted from $300 per watt in the 1950s to 8-12 cents today, yet photovoltaics supplied only 2.2% of global electricity by 2018. The fundamental problem? Storage. The largest battery systems provide 400 megawatt hours, two orders of magnitude below what large cities need. Until we solve storage, solar and wind remain supplementary power sources. Fritz Haber's 1909 ammonia synthesis breakthrough feeds over 3 billion people who couldn't survive on traditional nitrogen sources. Yet the Haber-Bosch process contributes 1% of global greenhouse emissions, and nitrogen runoff creates coastal dead zones. We've learned to feed billions, but not cleanly. We waste an obscene amount of what we produce. 40-50% of root crops, fruits and vegetables, 35% of fish, 30% of cereals. Americans consume only 2,100 of their 3,600 available daily kilocalories, 40% waste, enough to feed 230 million people. The meat debate misses the point. Humans are naturally omnivorous, and meat provides essential complete proteins, B vitamins, and minerals. The issue isn't meat itself, but inefficient production, particularly beef. Shifting global meat production from today's ratio, 40% pork, 37% chicken, 23% beef, to a more efficient mix, 40% pork, 50% chicken, 10% beef, would produce 30% more total meat while halving beef's environmental impact. The solution isn't eliminating meat, it's restructuring consumption intelligently. In 1896, Svante Arrhenius calculated that doubling atmospheric CO2 would raise temperatures by 5 to 6 C, remarkably close to modern models. Yet, despite climate convention since 1992, emissions have risen steadily. Atmospheric CO2 now reaches 415 ppm, levels unseen for 3 million years. The 2015 Paris Agreement lacks binding enforcement, and even meeting all targets would see emissions rise nearly 50% above 2017 levels. Keeping warming below 1.5 C requires zero emissions by 2050, an unprecedented transformation. Numbers reveal surprising truths but demand context. Nigeria's per capita energy consumption matches France in 1880, two lifetimes behind. Understanding numbers requires scientific literacy, grasping orders of magnitude, distinguishing signal from noise, placing figures in historical perspective. As we face climate change and resource depletion, interpreting data becomes crucial. The numbers expose uncomfortable truths. Our beliefs about progress rest on hope rather than evidence. Solutions we're betting on, electric vehicles, renewables, efficiency, won't suffice without fundamental lifestyle changes. The question isn't whether the numbers are right, it's whether we're courageous enough to act on them.